Thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's continue our conversation with Dr. Koh Swee King. He's one of the founders of the advocacy group Malaysian Health Coalition. So we're discussing Malaysia's announcement that it will be joining 172 countries to participate in COVAX. Swee King, the non-participation of the US and China, could you see that as being detrimental to the success of COVAX and its goal of equitable access?
Yes, it could be detrimental to the goals of achieving equitable access, but just because the US and China are not in it doesn't mean that the rest of the world shouldn't try to gang up. And I think ganging up is the best way for us to achieve fair and equitable access. There are also understandable reasons why the US and China will probably don't want to be a part of COVAX. Number one, under the presidency of Mr. Trump in America, they're pursuing an increasingly nationalistic tone. And China would think that they can have their own, they have trust in their own science and therefore their own health diplomacy. Maybe these two countries will eventually use their science, their capital, their networks and their expertise and manufacturing capacity to try to extend their domestic and foreign policy objectives as well. But those are conversations for future episodes, perhaps.
Okay, so we have this strength in numbers approach to the question of the vaccine. Have we and should we abandon thinking about ASEAN as a regional grouping? Because I know that there are also these structures and not, that are available regionally. Is that something that's completely now abandoned? Do we need to go with the world, as it were?
For the purposes of the COVID vaccine, a global public good, my bet would be to go to the COVAX facility because it's truly global. ASEAN, if we focus on ASEAN, the infrastructure surrounding ASEAN is heavy on rhetoric and in the health space is very heavy on trade-related aspects of health. For example, health tourism, medical tourism, the mutual recognition of health professionals. There are very few infrastructure or institutions within ASEAN that is capable of coping with the needs for a regional vaccine. About the only regional entity that can have their own vaccine will be Europe. The African region, Eastern Mediterranean region, a Pan-America Health Organization will probably be unlikely to be able to come with their own vaccines, which is why I think Malaysia's best bet and Southeast Asia's best bet is to go into COVAX. Side note, all 10 Southeast Asian nations are in COVAX.
Okay. I want to come back to the question of compulsory licensing we brought up with Sangeeta, which will allow us to buy generic products, so bypassing the pharmaceuticals, maybe bypassing the intellectual property rights and so on and so forth. Is that something, and I believe the MP of Klang, Charles Santiago, brought this up, asked a question to the health minister about this. Is there a downside to us either respecting intellectual property rights when it comes to something as important as the vaccine for COVID or ignoring intellectual property rights and disregarding it?
Well, we'll begin in 2001 when the Doha round of the World Trade Organization allowed compulsory licensing in the course or in the matters of national health or public health emergencies. So we do have the ability to pull the trigger. And Malaysia has indeed pulled the trigger on compulsory licensing in our hepatitis C medicine with a company in America called Gilead. So we have done this before. Other countries that have done it is India and South Africa as it relates to the HIV epidemic happening in these two countries. So Malaysia does have the ability to do so. Can we do it? Yes, we can. Should we do it? It's a more difficult question. And there are pros and cons. I err slightly on the side, 51-49, Sharad, these are very difficult decisions. I err slightly on the side of not pulling the compulsory licensing trigger until we have more information, specifically information about the pricing, the manufacturing capacity, and also the access.
Okay.
Because pulling the compulsory licensing trigger requires us to go to World Trade Organization. There would be backlash from the larger countries in the world, like America, that's weaponizing their foreign trade and their trade policies as well. And frankly, as a medium power, we don't want to be on the wrong side of the intellectual property wars as well.
Okay, so now that we have, the deadline has passed, Malaysia said that we're joining COVAX, what's next? I mean, do we sit back and wait for a vaccine to be discovered? What is the next step?
A lot of the steps that Malaysia needs to take would lie outside the national borders. But let me talk a little bit about what Malaysia can do within our borders and then talk about what lies outside our borders. Within our borders will be two things. One, transparency. So I love what Sangeeta has said. Mm-hmm. The transparency should also come from the government of Malaysia to the people of Malaysia. For example, 20% of the population received the first doses. Who will be deciding who are these 20%? Which categories will be decided,
so it's
and
the
so on?
Government, the local governments that will decide who the 20% are, right?
Okay. And it's not written into the COVAX deal that the most vulnerable, that frontliners, should be the ones getting this, get the first dibs on vaccine?
No. So COVAX is, a lot of people are investing a lot of hope into COVAX, but it's not the be-all, end-all magic solution. What COVAX is doing is relying on something called the SAGE, or the Strategic Advisory Group of Experts in the World Health Organization, that's come out with this beautiful 17-page document. I've read it so you don't have to. And it says, WHO recommends for the consideration of nation states three categories. First one is essential workers in the healthcare and social care sectors. Number two, adults more than 65 years old. And number three, adults with comorbidities, so high-risk adults. But nation states are not obliged to follow the recommendations of the World Health Organization.
And should they be? So these are guidelines you said. Should it be? Should we be, or even if, and Sangeeta mentioned civil society, insisting that, at least on a domestic level, that these commitments be put in or written down so that we can hold any government to account for how they use the dosage if they come?
Absolutely. Before COVID, we already have so much inequality in society. COVID is accelerating that inequality. If the rich, the powerful, the well-off, the healthy, the young, for example, get access to the vaccine before the poor, the powerless, the weak, the vulnerable, and on, then we can see inequality accelerating within our society. So it's crucial for us to have transparency. That's only one thing that we need to do within our national borders. Secondly, is to prepare the vaccine infrastructure. When we vaccinate for polio and BCG, for tuberculosis, for example, we're vaccinating small groups of the population. For example, everybody in standard 6 in Malaysia at any given year. But a mass population vaccination carries massive logistics. We have to figure out crime, for example, fraud, tampering, theft, black market profiteering. We have to consider the logistics and the supply chain and the cold chain, because we have to keep it between 2 to 4 degrees Celsius, for example. Then we have to figure out identity management, for example, to make sure that everybody's dosed once, nobody's dosed twice, and none of these leaks out to different countries. That's just within our national borders. And if you go outside our national borders, what Sangeeta said is very true. Malaysia needs a stronger seat at the global decision-making table. Without emerging country representatives and representatives on Southeast Asia or Malaysia being there, then decisions will usually be made, most often be made in these proverbial smoke-filled rooms. And I don't like these smoke-filled rooms, because we, as in the marginalised, traditionally underrepresented populations around the world, deserve to be at the global decision-making table.
Right. Okay, well, there's still quite a lot to be done, to be sorted out before...
And quite a lot to talk about, clearly. We're going to have you back and others who are interested in this issue. Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the show. Tonight, we really appreciate your time. That's all the time we have on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, folks. Good night.